With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we're going to be looking ahead to this weekend's matches in the Premier Division, as we'll be catching up with Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. We're going to be discussing management changes at Sutton Coldfield with Kev Moore from Switch Radio. We're going to be talking fundraising with the chairman at Hillsdale in Town, Karen Brooks. We're going to be talking 300 games for Hensford Town's Rob Smith. We've also got John McGrath on from Michelover Sports, and we're going to be catching up with Paul Quinn at Shaw Lane, how he's settling in at the South Yorkshire Club. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick NPL show. Welcome. So hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. Coming up later in the show, we've got a full fixture preview with that man from Whitby Town Radio, the marvellous Andrew Snaith. We're also going to be hearing from the management at Michelover Sports, Hensford Town and Shaw Lane on this week's show. And we've got an interview with Karen Brooks, chairman at Hillsdale in Town, about their fundraising efforts at the club. And we're also going to be catching up with Kev Moore from Switch Radio to talk about the comings and goings at Sutton Coldfield Town this past week. But before all of that, we should start at the very beginning. And in the beginning, there was only one person, and that person was the guy on the tannoy. It's James Hayes, everyone. Welcome, James. James.
Hello, Ben. How are you doing?
Fine. All good. All good. Very, very happy and chipper this week. That's because we've got two teams through to the third round of the FA Trophy. More on that in a second. Quite remarkable achievements from both clubs. We'll get the bad news out the way first. But even this isn't bad news because of the performances put in. Congratulations and commiserations to both Marine and Stourbridge, pushing Dover Athletic and Billericay Town all the way, but just being pipped to the post. Cracking efforts from both clubs.
None of the four teams can be disheartened with this weekend. I know every game went down to the wire in effect. One goal decided it on the day. Stourbridge and Marine can be proud in what they've done.
Cracking performances and also cracking displays off the pitch as well. Social media live with pictures of hordes of Stourbridge and Marine fans heading down south. Big congratulations to both clubs. And obviously Stourbridge bounced back on Monday by beating Wolves in the Birmingham Senior Cup. So just big congratulations. And speaking of the wire, because you did say both clubs took it to the wire, Warrington Town, see what I did there? Wire.
Yeah.
Good. Ebbsfleet United, Warrington Town were heading through to the third round on Saturday, but Ebbsfleet got a late equaliser. Workington also got a replay on Saturday against Western Supermare. Both replays took place on Tuesday night, and I can happily report that both teams went through to the next round. Warrington Town 2-0 winners over Ebbsfleet on Tuesday, and Workington 2-1 winners over Western Supermare. Cracking outcome from both clubs, and a big congratulations from everyone here at the NPL show.
Fantastic efforts by both of them there at the same time. Workington left it late to get through to the third round proper, but again, just shows what capability is available in this league.
So Wealdstone and Bromley await both Workington and Warrington in the next round. And we've already sent our congratulatory texts to both managers, to the management of both clubs. And we'll have both sets of managers on the show when the third round is about to get underway, and we'll have a preview for the next round. But big congratulations to both Warrington and Workington making it through, and congratulations again to Stourbridge and Marine despite not making it through to the next round. But let's talk about the league now, James. And just to mention, coming up shortly, we're going to be hearing from Paul Quinn at Shaw Lane, Rob Smith at Hensford Town. We're also going to be catching up with Kevin Moore at Switch Radio to talk about the comings and goings at Sutton Coldfield and Hales Owen this past week. But we'll start up at the top end. And Altrincham, they beat Stafford Rangers by 2-0. A 10-point lead now up at the top. James, I can hear Berkey in my head in the background going, they're going to win the league by 10 points. That's my Berkey impression, everyone. And, yeah. And everyone said that nobody was going to run away with it this year, but Altrincham are really putting the pedal down here, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's more with the fact that they're getting the results when everyone else is starting to drop them. So if you look at everything else, that obviously would take Warrington out of the equation because they were a little bit busy elsewhere on Saturday. But all the teams around them dropped points. And again, Altrincham making the most opportunity to get forward. It's all down to Altrincham now, and it's in their hands just to get themselves over. If they slip up, obviously they've still got the likes of Charlene and Grantham waiting in the background.
I tell you what, though, you mentioned Grantham there. Grantham are the team in second, and you could argue they dropped 2 points at the weekend. But then again, you could argue they've gained a point, because to draw 2-2 against Farsley Celtic in the form that Farsley Celtic have got themselves back into in recent weeks, that's a good point for both clubs there.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be a tough ask there for Grantham, because, again, as you said before, Farsley picked the little bit of form back up. Looking at the league table, you've got six, seven clubs that are viable jumping into that. The playoffs positions now because of the weekend just gone.
Warrington are the ones who've... They're 12 points behind Altrincham, but they do have 2 games in hand. They're 2 points behind Grantham, got 2 games in hand. So Warrington are there or thereabouts, as are Charlane. Charlane in fourth position. They've got 4 games in hand over Altrincham. 13 points the gap now. However, as we've said numerous times, Charlane do have 2 games to come against Altrincham. So they cannot be ruled out. Well, for more on Charlane now, let's hear from the management. And joining us now, it's the manager from Charlane. It's a welcome return back to the show to Paul Quinn. So welcome back to the show, Paul, and a big Happy New Year to you. Firstly, it's the first time we've got you on since your appointment at Charlane. How are you settling in?
Yeah, great. Happy New Year to you all. I'm really enjoying it. I think about 2 months there now, and just a little bit frustrating that we've had more postponements than we would have liked, but... Yeah, it's been a really, really good start. Been really happy with things. Lads have responded really well to everything we're trying to do. Obviously, it's been a strange situation, because usually when you go into a club as a new manager, it tends to be when a club's struggling. And obviously, Charlane have done really well at the first end of the season. So it's been a different challenge for us. But yeah, we're making some real good progress and really happy with how things are going at the moment.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, as you say, if you're a new manager into a club at midway through a season, it's normally to bring stability and that kind of thing. But obviously Charlane, they've been on an upward trajectory now for the last few seasons under Craig Elliott. So you've got to come in and hit the ground running, haven't you? How difficult has that been?
Yeah, it's been, like I said, it's been a different challenge. I think, obviously, as I said to the players, you know, they've done tremendously well so far this year, and for me now coming in, it's about what we can add in terms of the value, and you know, it's about pushing things on. And you know, I'm not the previous manager, I've got my own way of doing things, and you know, that's going to take a little bit of adjustment naturally. Any organisation where, you know, a new manager, new chief executive, anybody goes in at the top, it's going to be a little bit of time of adjustment. And you know, we've come in with new ideas, I'm not afraid of doing that, and we want to try and improve the players, improve the playing squad with what we've got already, and also improve a few things around the club. You know, we've just this week brought in the video analysis stuff. We're appointing a couple of guys that are looking after that for us that have done a tremendous job on that. We've got the player tech stuff involved, so that's coming in this week. You know, and we're just trying to find ways in which we can add value to what is already a really talented squad. You know, and it's been really good. It's been a different proposition for us all, and you know, I'm really enjoying it, and you know, I'm looking forward to the remainder of the season.
And obviously, like you say, you have been adding to the squad, Jake Picton recently, and check this out, Ed Wilczynski. I know that because he was on loan at FC United for a few games.
Signed from
Darlington, a very good ex-professional goalkeeper. You have added quality to the squad in recent weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Ed's now joined us on a permanent deal, which is really important. We had him on a month's loan from Darlington, and I'm delighted we've got him through on a permanent deal now. That just gives us some assurance that we've got a goalkeeper there that we can rely on and that we can work with the back four. You know, we obviously lost John Stewart and Ryan Qualter, captain and goalkeeper, to Boston just before Christmas, so we need to go out and replace them, and Ed coming in is adequate replacement, certainly for John in goals. In terms of, obviously, Jake Skelton's joined as well. You know, his pedigree speaks for itself. I think he were at Leeds United 18 months ago, so really good young centre-half, and I'm looking forward to working with him, and the same with Jake Picton as well. And James Pollard joined us beginning of December from Farsley. We've worked with him before and has been at Bradford City. So, yeah, we needed some depth. We identified that straight away in terms of defensive cover. We needed some depth there, and we've gone out and done that. And those boys have got to come in now and step up to the standard that's been set by the other players, which is very, very high, I can tell you that. And, you know, the lads have set their own standards this season, and we've got to keep now trying to lift the bar and push everybody on.
Now, obviously, you've touched upon it already. it's proving quite difficult at the moment for Shaw Lane to get some games played in a consistent manner. So at the moment, you've got loads of games in hand over everyone else. And there's two big games against Altrincham that we could see coming down the track as well. Where do you see Shaw Lane at the moment? Or are you literally taking the old adage, one game at a time, as and when you can get them played?
Yeah, we definitely are taking one game at a time. I mean, that's noticeable. But I had an interesting conversation with somebody the other day, actually, and they were saying, you know, how are you going to deal with sort of when you're playing Saturday, Tuesday? And I'd actually flip it around and said, you know what, we're relishing that opportunity to play Saturday, Tuesday, and build that momentum. And I think sometimes having a quick succession of games actually can work in your benefit. You know, if you string a few results together, all of a sudden you can have 3-4 wins in the space of in a week, really, or 10 days. So we're relishing that opportunity. The lads are really looking forward to that. We've planned for that already. We're hoping, fingers crossed, that starts this weekend. We've got a home game on Saturday, and then we go to Marine Tuesday night. So, you know, we're looking how we can prepare and recover well from the Saturday-Tuesday game. So I'll be honest with you, we're really looking forward to that. I tell you now, you ask any player or manager, they'd rather be playing games, they'd rather the games come thick and fast, and obviously we've got to make sure we've got a squad that can cope with that, but we're really looking forward to it, and you know, there's no pressure on us, we're just going to go out there and try and play with a bit of freedom. You know, we're in a nice position, we're just chasing, and we'll see what happens. You know, for me, the pressure's on the boys that are at the top at the moment to stay up there, and you know, we'll take a game at a time, we'll try and pick up as many points as we can, and we'll knock on the door as firmly as we possibly can come April time. You know, that's the objective for everybody at the club, and we'll keep him working towards that. But obviously the priority is Saturday now. We've prepared well this week, and you know, we're looking forward, fingers crossed, weather dependent, that we get that game on and we can get a win on the board.
Well, Paul Quinn, manager at Shaw Lane, a big thank you for taking time out your busy day to come on the show. Keep up the good work, and I'll speak to you soon. And James, Shaw Lane 0, Whitby Town 0. What do you think?
Well, as you just said before, them two games of Altrincham have now become Shaw Lane must win. But now, it is now down, so they've got to win them four games in hand to stand any sort of chance, realistically.
Working to another team in fifth at the moment, but it's getting awfully congested now behind Workington. Workington on 46 points, 3 points behind Grantham Town in second position. Played the same number of games as Grantham. Played 2 games more than Warrington and 4 games more than Shaw Lane. Behind them, though, is Ashton United. And Ashton United have got 2 games in hand over Workington. A 1-1 draw with Witton Albion. And it's like Grantham Town against Farnsley Celtic. That's a good point there for Ashton, to be fair.
Yeah, again, one that's vital at this moment in time. Again, Ashton took both goals coming very, very early on, and apparently Witton was giving no room for Ashton to be able to play football either as such. So vital, again, a vital away point needed at this moment in time. Witton, I was going to bring them both into this situation, both of them. Well, capable to push forward, and they've shown it in the last couple of weeks.
Now, Hensford Town, they're the team in 7th position. They've played 4 games more than Ashton United. They're 1 point outside the playoffs. They played 5 games more than Shaw Lane, who are also 1 point up the road, and 2 games more than Workington. So Hensford Town currently an outside bet, but as we've seen above Hensford Town, there are teams dropping points here or there. So Hensford Town, as long as they keep getting points, and they're still very much in this. Let's hear now from Rob Smith, manager at Hensford Town. Welcome back to the show. So welcome back to the show, Rob, and a big Happy New Year to you and everyone at Hensford Town. Just before we get to the league results, just a big congratulations on that milestone of 300 games in charge at Keys Park. It must be a great achievement.
Yeah, thanks very much. I mean, it's obviously it's been over sort of my first stint there and this stint, but you know, as I've said in press, really, I've enjoyed every minute of it. It's been a great time. We've had some real highs, so I'm hoping we can get a few more games in and achieve a lot more.
And during the first spell, anyway, as an FC United fan, I probably already know the answer to this, unfortunately. But what were the highlights for you in this 300 games in charge?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the FC United game at home, just to see the stadium full, and I mean that's what FC United bring, and it was for the club to see that ground full and to actually win the game was a memorable day for us, and I will say that FC made that day as well by bringing so many supporters. It was just a fantastic occasion, and so that's obviously sticks in the memory, but there was a game at West Auckland that everybody concerned with Hensford knows in the FA Cup replay, where we went down to nine men on a miserable Tuesday night up in West Auckland. And I think we had nine men for at least half of the game and extra time and still managed to win on penalties. So that was that's one that really sticks out as well, because we went on to play in the first round of the FA Cup that year.
And obviously, as you've come back to the club, and we spoke to you before Christmas, and at that stage, Hensford were mid-table with games in hand. And I think I asked you at the time, are you looking towards those player positions? I think at the time you said it would be a bonus if you got there this season. But over this period since you came on the show, you have been putting the results together, and you are on a good run at the moment.
We are. I think we've sort of the last 11 games, we've won 9, drawn 1, lost 1. So we've been on a tremendous run, and credit to the players for that. But, you know, we've still played a lot more games than teams around us. We recognise that. And promotions, you know, playoffs still remain a bonus to us. What we wanted to do was stabilise and get a steady squad. And that's what we've done. But we're within touching distance now. We just want to try and keep the momentum up. And if it gets us in the playoffs, that's great. If it doesn't, you know, we'll plan for next season.
And obviously, winning games is one thing, but digging deep and getting getting a point out of nowhere is also advantageous as well. Obviously, you might not be pleased with the fact you didn't get 3 points, but you must be pleased with the fact that you managed to get a point against Colville in the situation you found yourselves in towards the end of that game.
I was very pleased to get a point. I mean, not just the fact that, you know, we got it so late, but the fact that I think they're a really good team, Colville, probably one of the best we've faced. We looked a really tired team on Saturday. And so it was one of those days where, on another occasion, you know, you'd probably say we didn't really deserve to come out with anything. So for the lads to, you know, keep going right to the 93rd, 94th minute and get something out of nowhere was a bonus for us. And I said that to the players after, you know, don't be disheartened because we haven't won the game. Take the point and move on. You know, we weren't at our best against a very good team. So I was delighted with the lads for that, really.
And that then takes you into this game this weekend against Warrington Town. It's going to be a tough game, this one, as some conference sides have found out now this season. Warrington Town are in the playoff positions at the moment. They've played 4 games less than yourselves. This is an important game for Hensford, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an important game for Warrington as well. I mean, the thing is with us, you know, we're not going up there feeling any pressure. We know if we play our normal game, you know, we're capable of giving anybody in the league a game. And I watched Warrington on Tuesday. I went up and, you know, I thought they were as good a side as I've seen this season in terms of strength and experience and organisation. So we're under no illusions how difficult it will be, but we'll go up there and we'll enjoy ourselves and see where it takes us.
And just to finish things off then, Rob, obviously during your spell at the club on the 300 games, you've seen players come and go and you've developed players. And obviously in the last week, the club have announced a new football partnership with a local youth club in South Staffordshire, FC Newlands. And that brings together what Hensford do as well as what Newlands do into this. It's going to transform the club, isn't it, with that conveyor belt side of things. And you've taken players and some of your players have gone on to the Football League. This is exciting for the club for the future, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, FC Newlands are a big club around the area, so for Hensford to sort of merge with them, we're going to have over sort of 30 teams next season, community based on Sundays, and obviously sort of elite teams on Saturdays, all the way up to 18-year-olds. So, you know, it's fantastic, not just for the potential of us getting future players, which, you know, we're always on the lookout for because we run such a small squad and developing, but also the fact that it brings so many people into the Hensford arena. There's sort of 400 potential children playing football. So if we can get them and the parents into the grounds on Saturdays, it all helps. So it's really bright for the future.
And we had the Workington chairman on a few weeks ago. We had Cone's chairman on last week. They're setting up a new academy next season. It's a pretty obvious thing to say, but this is the way to go for non-league clubs, isn't it? To develop those youth pathways, not just to develop players, but as you say, to develop that community ethos as well, where you get in the local community more involved in the club.
It is. It's totally the future, and I think it's the way all the clubs are now realising that's the way to go. And from a sort of manager's perspective, you know, if we can get a couple of diamonds out of that, you know, nothing's given me greater pleasure than to see sort of players like Jamie Osborne from youth team football go on and play professional football. So, you know, it's a win-win situation.
Well, Rob Smith, manager at Hensford Town, a big congratulations again for making that 300 milestone. Keep up the good work, and we'll speak to you soon. So many happy returns to Rob Smith. 300 games in charge at Hensford Town. Cracking stuff. And he really has, James, got Hensford Town into this promotion race now.
Yeah, they have done. And again, this is something we've not seen from for a while. And we know what Hensford Town can do. They're not a million miles behind. Granted, games are building up against them. But there's nothing to stop him finishing within the top three if they can continue as they are.
So, Hensford Town there in seventh, following that 1-0 draw with Colville, another cracking result from Colville there. Farsley Celtic there in eighth, 2 points behind Workington in the playoffs. So, Farsley Celtic also in this promotion hunt as well. Witten Albion following that 1-0 draw with Ashton there in ninth position, 5 points now from the playoffs. We are entering the home straight now, last few months of the season, but it's like we've said throughout this season. If a team strings the results together, then they can't be discounted, and I don't think you can discount Witten Albion at the moment from a late surge. Michelover Sports, they're the outside bet currently in 10th position. They played 4 games more than Workington in the playoffs, and Workington are 6 points ahead of Michelover Sports. But Michelover Sports won at the weekend 2-0 against Matlock. And joining us now from Michelover Sports, it's a welcome return back to the show to John McGrath. So, Happy New Year to you, John. And, well, it's proving to be quite a good New Year at the moment. It's you're on quite a run at the moment, 5 games unbeaten and quite a result at the weekend against Matlock.
Yeah, we seem to have, you know, Christmas time is always quite important with a lot of games over the course of limited time. So, you know, we were conscious that to stay within the what we consider our position, just in and around, you know, top 10. We needed a good Christmas, and yeah, we've picked up some really good results away at Nantwich, at home to Matlock last Saturday, and you know, we picked up a very good point away at Stourbridge 2 weekends ago.
And I do feel like a broken record, and I do apologise for asking you the same questions over and over again. But every time I look at Michelover Sports, I occasionally think to myself, "Oh, they've dropped out of it there with that draw." But then you keep bouncing back, and you are in the slipstream of the playoff contenders.
Yeah,
where are you up to now with your thinking going into 2018?
Do you know what? I asked the lads for consistency, and I think we're consistently inconsistent is the phrase I use with the boys. We tend to win two or three, then don't win for another two or three. But we've got quite a good squad. I maintain we should be in and around the playoffs. We've got a very, very good footballing philosophy, which all the lads buy into. We do things the right way, but you know, hopefully we've turned the corner. You know, with some very important results lately.
And you've mentioned your squad there, and you're not standing still, are you? I mean, re-signing of Al Balimba from former Derby County player, and you've got a Barnes Homer coming into the club. It's you're not standing still, are you?
No, we lost Brad Grayson to Buxton in January, early January. So he went to Buxton, and you know, Brad leaves the big void because he's a good player for us. So the re-signing of Mehdi, you know, he's someone who we haven't seen the best of yet, but he's getting fit, he's getting stronger, and I just wanted to add, I'm very particular about who I sign, and I've had Lewis Briscoe watched and I've played against him, and I've had Matthew Barnes-Homer watched and I've played against him. So I think the benefits of actually seeing somebody on a match day close up playing 90 minutes against them, you tend to see their character, what's going right for them, and I believe the two boys will be two very good signings for us.
What are these players going to add to your squad already? Because like you've touched upon already, you were there or thereabouts in that top 10, pushing towards the playoffs. What are these three players going to bring to the table for your squad?
Our initial concerns and questions with me and my backroom staff were our depth in squad. So initially they'll add very good depth to an already good squad. I need someone who I believe is going to score me well, another player. Obviously, I've got Evan Garnett, but I need someone to take the burden off Evan's shoulders. And Matthew Barnes-Homer falls perfectly into that. You know, he's a goal scorer. I think how we play football will suit him. We create a lot of chances. Lewis Briscoe will add goals, but he'll add goals from maybe a right, you know, wide right, wide left. He can play in the hole. He can play centre midfield. So he adds a vast amount of experience as well. And someone like Mehdi just adds energy to the squad. He'll come in and it's great for me to have a headache like that.
Now then, this weekend you're hosting Marine, and Marine obviously had a long journey last weekend and put in a great display. But what are you expecting from Marine this weekend for Michelover Sports?
I'm expecting the same again from, you know, they're a few places below us in the league. I think they've got 27 points from their 27 games. They want to win. Our home record is not great. Our away record is a lot better than our home record, but on the back of beating Matlock 2-0 and putting in probably what I would consider one of our best performances of the season, I'm looking for 3 points, but every game's hard in this league.
Now you say that, and that's a good segue, because a bit further down the line, you've got Fazi Celtic, and then you've got Alti away. This is a pivotal next couple of games for Michelover, isn't it?
Yeah, we've had a look at the fixtures. We've got 15 games left. You know, realistically, to get anywhere in and around, I think you probably got to win 10 or 11 out of the 15. If you look at last season's points tally from that made the playoffs. So, you know, we give every game a go. You know, Altrincham are a very, very good side. We pushed them all the way at our place. They beat us 2-1. I tend to look no further than what we're playing the weekend, because if we don't get the job done that's at hand, then we'll struggle down the line. And but keeping one eye on those big games. We've also got Warrington away in a few weeks coming up. So, like I said, no easy games.
Absolutely. Well, John McGrath, manager at Michelover Sports, a big thank you for taking time at your busy day to come on the show. Best of luck this weekend, and I'll speak to you soon. For Michelover Sports, you've got to keep your eye on them, because every time you think, oh, they're going to drop out of this now, they pull out a win or two and then start to nudge themselves up the table. John McGrath's doing a good job there at Michelover.
Yeah, I mean, they've just brought in two seasoned players at higher level as well, just for any potential late run with Michelover at this moment in time. So it shows their intention. They're not just going to sit down and just wait till next season's come round now. They are preparing for a little good go at it. So they can just go play the football that they want to play.
Stourbridge there in 11th, as we discussed last week with Gary Hackett. It's 7 points behind Workington. They do have two games in hand over Workington, but there's a lot of teams above them who've also got games in hand over. But Stourbridge, it's going to be a pivotal next few games or so for Stourbridge's season, it feels like.
It is as well. I've just seen the next few fixtures.
Yeah. Buxton there in 12th position, also on 39 points, 7 points behind Workington. They play the same number of games, though. A 2-2 draw with Stalybridge, and at this point we'll go down towards the bottom end of the table. That for Stalybridge is 4 points from a possible six in the last two games. That's much better from Stalybridge Celtic.
Yeah, it's not only that, it's the second away point of the season, and that's where, again, we said last week, their away form has to improve just to stay out of any relegation fight, because the changeover at Sutton Coldfield now with Neil Tooth coming back in, we know what Neil Tooth's like at this level. He can turn teams round.
And Sutton Coldfield, as you said, 4 points now, the gap to Stalybridge Celtic. They have got that bit of a buffer there of Stalybridge now. Stalybridge have got 6 games in hand. And the big news this week has been the departure of Richard Snakers, who's gone to a coaching role at Hales Owen. Neil Tooth coming in. So there's only one place we can turn to for more on this now. Let's head down to the West Midlands and switch radio's very own Kevin Moore. So welcome back to the show, Kevin. And, it's been a very interesting couple of days in the West Midlands involving Sutton Coldfield Romulus, Russia Olympic, Hills Owen, all kinds of permutations and parts to play in this. Where we are now is Richard Snake is no longer in charge at Sutton Coldfield. He's gone off to be a coach at Hills Owen. His last game was against Russia Olympic, a 4-3 defeat there against Sutton Coldfield. And then Romulus is nil two. He's now in charge at Sutton Coldfield. It's what have you made of the last week?
As you said, it's been an absolute roller coaster week, to be honest, Ben. It's been really, really strange. Just to go back to a bit about Romulus to begin with. Obviously, Romulus they made the phone call. They got in touch with Neil Tooth at the time, and he wasn't working in the game in the sense that he wasn't working any particular club at the time when that happened. And that they phoned him up and said, you know, would you want to get involved in Romulus at the time? Which he did. And I think although Tooth has only been there for a very short period of time as part of the Romulus management team there, it did have a positive influence and impact on the club. Performances have improved, and you know they've picked up on their performances a lot better the last few weeks as well. And I'm looking at the table now because Romulus obviously in the University First Division South. Although they're bottom of the table, but they're only 1 point behind Peterborough Sports, who are just above them, and Peterborough Sports have got a game in hand. So you look at the situation of Romulus to begin with in their table, in their situation in the league, and you still think, yeah, they could still probably do enough to get themselves out of it, you know, and they're only a point behind, and there's still a lot of matches to be played. So when he went to Romulus, he had an immediate impact on the team. The performance improved. He got some players. He got some loan deals in with his contacts in. He got some players in from Notts County who signed up to play, you know, for loan deal for Romulus at the end of the season. And he did a really, really good job as well. And I don't think anybody would have anticipated that, you know, if Richard Sneakers had, and Steve Hanks had been sacked at Sutton, that Neil Tooth would be the first choice anyway. But obviously he's got the call. He's gone back to Sutton. It's going to be a massive challenge for him, Ben, to sort of try and keep Sutton up because, you know, they really, I mean, where you look at, I know Romulus and Sutton in their both respective tables are at bottom position, but you feel looking at the two tables, how they're set up, you think Romulus have still got a chance to climb out of it and could probably stay in that league this season. And I actually fancy their chances to do that. For Sutton, it really is. You can't really see how they're going to turn it around because, you know, they've played 30 games on 20 points. Stalybridge Celtic are above them, you know, played 24 games on 24 points. So there's a big gap there in terms of the points gap, but also the fact that Sutton have played more games as well. So he's not going to have a massive budget there either, Ben, Neil Tooth, when he goes to Sutton, because that's always one of the issues that Richard Seekers and Steve Hinks were always a concern about the budget issues there. But it's going to be a massive order for him. If he keeps them up, it will be an absolute miracle, if I'm being brutally honest. But he's a local person, and he loves helping local teams in the area. So he's probably seeing it as a challenge, sort of like, you know, can I do this? Can I keep them up?
That's the interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, obviously, on this show, we never like to interview managers as soon as they take over. So, Neil, you just listen to the show. We'll get you on in when you get your feet under the desk. Sutton Coldfield used to be a Division 1 South side, and Neil Tooth got them to this stage where they were a Premier Division side. Do you reckon it's a return to Sutton Coldfield going back to basics, do you think, maybe for the end of this season as well as next season and beyond?
Yeah, I think that's a good point there, Ben. I think you're right with that, actually. Yeah, and they know Neil Tooth is. They know what he's capable of. So in many respects, it's like a safe appointment in the sense that they know what he can bring to the club anyway. If they are, we don't know yet. Nothing's been officially said or anything like that. If the club, in many respects, are preparing for maybe sort of accepting their fate and they think they're going to get relegated this season, if that is the case, then at least they've got a manager who understands that league and understands the Evo Stick League in general anyway. So, you know, if they are going to get relegated, then you've got a manager there who know enough about the league itself and the sort of type of football you've got to play to make a challenge again to go for promotion maybe a year or so later. Having said that, though, it's going to be a massive challenge. But Neil's the sort of guy that he is. He likes challenges and he doesn't shirk his responsibilities. He would see it as like a real challenge to sort of say, you know, I'm taking this club over in a situation where he's looking desperate, but if he can keep them up, it would be absolutely amazing. It would be one of the success stories of the season locally in our area if Neil Tooth could do that. I just see it as an opportunity for him where, like, he lives locally in the area, he's passionate about his local football, his chance to go back, maybe sort of redeem himself a little bit, but also it's a challenge for him. And I think he'll enjoy it as well because he enjoys challenges like that. And certainly the fans aren't going to have any issues with Neil Tooth going back there. He's still quite popular amongst the fans and well-liked amongst the fans as well. So it's going to be interesting and it's going to be a roller coaster, but I'm sure he'll give it his best shot, and I'm sure the fans will support him regardless of what he does.
And the other thing to add as well is, and we've seen this with Hale's Own, we've certainly seen it with Russia Olympic. It only takes a couple of good results and you get a bit of momentum going, and you know, there is that possibility of a new manager bounce at Sutton Coldfield, and it's harder, like Stalybridge Celtic and Hales Owen are running away at rapid speed. So it is still possible where Sutton Coldfield are. We are only in January.
That's true, yeah. It's not totally finished yet. You're right there. It's still possible to sort of like claw that back. And the thing as well, I mean, I look at the forthcoming fixtures, Ben. I mean, Sutton on the 27th of January, they're home against Workington. But they've got Stalybridge Celtic away on Saturday, the 3rd of February.
Wow.
And with it being a bit of a gap now before, you know, Toothy's going to get into the reins of covering the games again, that actually might work in his favour, because he knows he's got Stalybridge Celtic coming up. Now, if they were to get a good result there or get a victory away against Stalybridge Celtic, then all of a sudden Stalybridge and Hales will start thinking, well, Sutton are actually on our ankles here now. And, you know, as you said, it's not over yet, is it really? But also a lot of these teams have got to come to Coles Lane the second half of the season. And going back to last season, you know, it was the home form, I think, that did enough for Sutton to stay up in the league, didn't it? And they got some great results when, you know, last season when they beat teams like Stourbridge and Blythe Spartans and teams like that. So it's not over yet, but it's going to put a bit more pressure on sort of the home form, where they've really, really got to sort of, you know, sort of try and get some good home results as well. But if they can pick up points away from home, if that's one of the starting things that Toothy can do, then it will put pressure on Hales Owen Town and Stalybridge Celtic as well. You look at the table, it's you know, Stalybridge in 23rd, Hales Owen in 22nd, Rean in 21st. I think it's between them three and Sutton, of which is going to be the team that's going to, you know, go for the trapdoor at the end of the season. And if they can get off to some good results, and in particular, if they can get a great result away against Stalybridge Celtic in a few weeks' time, then it really opens it all up, doesn't it? And for us fans, as we all are fans of the league in general, it's going to make it very, very interesting going as we head in now towards the second half of the season.
Well, Kevin Moore from Switch Radio, switchradio.co.uk and at Switch Sport on Twitter. A big thank you for joining us. It's certainly going to be an interesting roller coaster. And when we reach another peak and we're on our way back down again, we'll get you back on. No problem at all for another exciting journey in towards the bottom end of the table. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Cheers, Ben. Thanks for your time, and I hope to speak to you guys again very, very soon.
And a big thank you to Kevin Moore at Switch Radio for walking us through the comings and goings at Sutton Coldfield Town this past week. And now to focus on the goings, and that's Richard Snakers. Richard Snakers leaving his post at Sutton Coldfield and heading to a coaching role at Hales Owen Town. But strangely, that's not the big news at Hales Owen Town this week. Actually, Hales Owen Town are backing a fundraising scheme to help finance a takeover at the club that's being led by Chairman Karen Brooks and President Colin Brooks. Around 200 supporters attended a meeting on Sunday to hear about the plans by the Brooks family to acquire the club in the future. And joining us now to discuss this more in depth, we're now joined by the chairman at Hales Owen Town. Please welcome to the show Karen Brooks. So welcome to the show, Karen, and a big happy new year to you. Can you give us a bit of background about this fans meeting that took place a couple of days ago? That's a good healthy turnout there.
It certainly is. I guess in terms of background, previous chairman and owner Steve Lynch unfortunately was banned by the FA for a couple of years, and there's still about 18 months left to go. And, you know, and that's caused us issues, to be quite frank, Ben, on and off the pitch. You know, it's been difficult. So as a consequence, I've met with the fans three times now. We had a fans forum on Sunday. We had a brilliant turnout, I would say over 200 people. And I think the overwhelming consensus of the fans is now it's time for some fresh impetus and a fresh start and be able to move forward. For people who know Hales Owen Town, my father's been associated with the club, I think, which is his 25th year. He's got a long, rich history in professional and non-league football, having been signed by Sir Matt Busby at Manchester United on the same day as Nobby Stiles. This is his 61st year in football. And one of the things that Steve Lynch promised Dad in his 5 or 6 year tenure as chairman was he'd always do the best by Hales Owen Town. And I think now the best would be helping myself and the fans actually buy the club.
And you've asked, it's £30,000towards the cost of buying the club. And obviously, Hell's Owen Town fans have been an active part of the club for a number of years now. The last time I remember anything was about helping the upkeep of the Grove, a great non-league venue in the West Midlands. They've got the red screwed on as a fan base, I have to say, Hell's Owen Town fans.
They're a great bunch of fans, I have to say. The committee and all of the volunteers are brilliant. You know, I just couldn't run the club in the way that we do without them. We have Friends of the Grove who we run a 50-50, and a lot of that money goes to supporting development at the ground. So along with the sponsorship money, we've been able to replace the fencing, for example, around the perimeter of the pitch. The pitch was completely stripped off and replaced in terms of closed season, and we're hoping in February to get the perimeter of the actual ground fenced off in the same way as the pitch perimeter. So, you know, there's a lot done, and the committee and the volunteers are brilliant.
What do you think the benefits are going to be for the model that yourself and your dad and the supporters are looking to create at Hills Owen?
I think it's about being able to give the fans a real voice in terms of what goes on, you know, off the pitch, but also on the pitch. I think it's about creating stability and enabling a club that was obviously set up in 1873 to continue to prosper, both for, you know, the football fans who've been going up for some of them 50, 60 years, but also in terms of the local community. You know, we have an academy there. We have year one and year two. And that's really thriving. We have a great youth setup, having joined with Halley Hawks, you know, so that's going really well. So it's about longevity, and it's about, you know, hopefully being able to get back to winning ways on the pitch, but winning ways off the pitch, and being able to, you know, at some time in the future, recreate FA Vars days.
And you mentioned on the pitch there, John Hill's doing, I have to say, I think he's doing an excellent job this season, because he's juggling loan players and that kind of thing. And he's just, the team is just about keeping itself away from the relegation danger zone. What's your view on how the season's gone so far?
I think it's really difficult. I think, you know, we don't have the budget that some other clubs do, you know, the likes of Altrincham and Shore Lane, etc. So it's very difficult to complete. I think John Hill knows the division above and below and around us really well. He really has a great knowledge of the non-league scene. And as you say, he's been bringing in some great loans for us, which has enabled us to keep our head above water. You know, and I'm hoping that will continue. I think a number of occasions we've been unlucky. You know, although a couple of weeks ago at home we lost to Grantham 3-1, we certainly, toward the last 10 minutes of the game, certainly could have come away with a draw. You know, so you just hope that some of those results will go for us. And the one thing I guarantee with John, the management team and the players, we'll keep fighting right to the end. And I hope that we will be able to survive in the Northern Premier League.
And you have added to that management team this week. Richard Snake is coming on board. That's quite a coup, that, because he's got such great pedigree and great experience. What's he going to add to the coaching setup, do you feel, at the club?
I absolutely agree. I think his knowledge, his experience. I think our association in the past in terms of West Bromwich Albion, and obviously Richard's past and pedigree from West Brom. I think his coaching ability, I think, we'll all add into the mix in terms of, okay, supporting Hell's Owen Town staying in the Northern Prem.
And just a quick plug for that justgiving.com page. It's justgiving.com/ Hell's Owen Town. And just before we go, Karen, a point to the next steps. What's going to happen next with regards to this fundraising appeal?
With crowdfunding, and some people didn't want to pay into crowdfund, they wanted to pay into an account I've set up. We've got more than £11,000 yesterday, so in 4 days, which I think is pretty impressive. So I'm hoping we can achieve our target. I think I'm doing stuff behind the scenes with solicitors, etc. And my father is in contact with the Lynch family through Sean Lynch, in terms of, you know, seeking to negotiate a purchase. So we just keep going down that route and keep pushing on. And I say I'm hopeful we'll get the right result.
Well, Karen Brooks, chairman at Hales Owen Town, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. Best of luck with the crowdfunding appeal and raising that much needed money at the club. And we'll speak to you soon.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for your time, Ben.
And a big thank you to Karen Brooks, chairman at Hales Owen Town, for joining us on this week's show. Hales Owen Town 0, Nantwich Town 1 was the result from Saturday afternoon. Sees Hales Owen hovering above the relegation battle, 7 points clear of Sutton Coldfield Town, with Hales Owen still having a game in hand over their West Midlands neighbours. I think there's only one last game that we need to mention, and that was Lancaster City 1, Barwell 1. That was 13th against 15th at the time, and well, it's the only thing
with that one. I think I don't think it's finished Lancaster's season, but they're under that marker now. Really, I think if you don't win the next couple of games, I think that's their season done and dusted. Personally,
8 points from the playoffs. Lancaster now, they've got a game in hand over Workington. There's a long way to go. I know 99 days to be precise. Thanks for whoever worked that out. we should say Barwell, we heard from Jimmy Ginelli last week. Obviously they've had a few injuries and that kind of thing, so a 1-0 draw away at the Giant Axe, and I think that was the first time Barwell went up there. Good result for Barwell as well. But James, big thank you for joining us on this week's show, and we'll be hearing from you next week.
No worries, mate, thank you very much.
So it's now time for fixture previewing this weekend's matches in the Premier Division. Saturday the 20th of January we're thinking about now, and joining us to share this giant thought about these weekend's matches, we're now joined by the very thoughtful, it's Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. Hello Andy, how's things?
Hiya Ben, yeah, not too bad at all. Looking forward to previewing this weekend's action.
It's a weird introduction, that one. It went awfully round the houses and we ended up going with thoughtful. Very odd. But anyway, I meant it though, sincerely. So this weekend's matches. But just to, before we get to that, just your thoughts about the last time Whitby Town were in league action. Quite a good point that, at Shaw Lane.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, we're happy with that. Yeah, 8 wins out of 11 at home in the league for them. So, yeah, we'll definitely take a point. I thought we were a good value for it as well. Could have had a penalty. Had a good shout in first half for a foul on Matty Tymon. Wasn't given. But, yeah, stirring stuff from Chris Hardy's men, especially after a 5-0 drubbing the game before against Lancaster. I thought we were quite an impressive side and sort of... didn't really belie the league placing. I've been impressed by Lancaster. They thumped us 4-1 and 5-0 this season, so I'm kind of surprised that they're only in mid-table.
And you're on the road again this weekend, and we'll come to that match right at the end. You can give it a big, massive, giant plug. There will be commentary on Whitby Town Radio this weekend, won't they, at Rush Olympic?
Yeah, they will. Yeah, we're sending Paul up a ladder 40 feet in the air.
Oh, did we have this chat last time? Do you have this chat last time? Were you meant?
We did, and then the snow came.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And I told you, don't be silly. They've got a lovely conservatory there, but then you told me you've had to leave because of bad language. So that makes sense. Right. Anyway,
not from us.
matches this weekend then, and well. This one's a biggie. You can see it from space. This one, it's huge. Stourbridge against Altrincham. Wow. We've already touched upon it in recent weeks about Stourbridge's need to get some wins. They were very unlucky in the FA Trophy last weekend. They've started to get some wins on the board. They're unbeaten in 3 matches, but this is a tough test against Alter this weekend.
Yeah, a little mini recovery from Stourbridge. I still think they're in with a good shout for a playoff place. Altrincham going well at the top, as many, many people will have predicted. The Altrincham juggernaut could be a great game, this one, Ben. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Then there's Grantham Town against Stourbridge. And Grantham Town find themselves in this position now where they're leading a posse of teams. And you can go down to 5 points back, you'll see Farsley Celtic in 8th position. Grantham Town, like everyone in that top 8, can't afford to slip up now, I don't think, because there's some teams outside the playoffs got the potential to pounce, and teams a bit further down like Stourbridge with the potential to get themselves into the playoff places. Grantham Town this weekend travelling to Stalybridge, that's an intriguing one, isn't it?
Indeed it is, yeah. Stalybridge second bottom, but I don't think they're going to be there for that long. You know, they're certainly very good on at home, so there'll be a challenge for Grantham. Grantham in second. It's a really good little shake-up there. We often have that in the Evostick Premier. We're used to it now, veterans of it. I don't know what nickname you've given them, the Chasing Pack, but yeah, there's sort of 10, 11 sides there the all blob. Fighting it out at the top end.
The Blob.
The Blob.
That's what we called good it. Shout. Yeah. So anyway, Warrington Town there in third position. Warrington Town, we had a chat with Hensford Town's manager, Rob Smith. 300 games in charge now at Hensford Town. This is a big game, this one. Warrington, obviously, heroics midweek in the FA Trophy replay. Hensford Town got themselves in a very good position. But as we said earlier with Rob Smith, they played a fair few games more than everyone else. Four games more than Warrington.
Yeah, but the only side in that top half with a negative goal difference as well, which maybe belies that fact. Struggled a little bit away from home, and I think if they don't make that playoff shake-up, that's where they'll be looking at where it all went wrong. Warrington, very good side, and maybe this is going to be their year. They're one of those sides that are really going to be pushing, and I'd be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs this time around. And fair play to them there. Must have had a long time plan there at Cantilever Park, and maybe this is the year it comes to fruition.
Now, we spoke with Paul Quinn earlier as well, and Charlene this weekend hosting Hales Owen, and we obviously heard from Karen, the chairman at Hales Owen, and we should mention as well the fact Richard Snakers has now joined the coaching staff at Hales Owen Town. Sutton Coldfield not in action this weekend, so Neil Toof has the time to get his feet under the table this weekend. But it's a big game, this one, for both clubs, but for different reasons.
Yeah, absolutely right. All sorts going on in the managerial ranks in the West Midlands, Ben. What's happened there? Obviously, Richard Snakers leaving Sutton Coldfield, replaced by the man that he replaced, Neil Tooth. He's back in charge. I don't know what's going on. Then Richard Snakers is in the coaching staff at Hills Owen.
I can't work it out. But anyway, yeah. But Charlene against Hills Owen this weekend, a very important game for Charlene. Everyone's looking now, punditry-wise anyway, looking at those two Aldrigan matches for Charlene coming up down the line. And they've got to put themselves in a position, haven't they, where those games matter.
Absolutely, yeah, they've got the games in hand. One thing I did notice with Charlene, the firepower, it just seemed to not be there on Saturday. They didn't have it, didn't create the chances and couldn't take what little chances there were there. And that's going to be a concern. I don't know whether that's something you address with Paul, but he's going to have to look at that. And, maybe there's some decisions to be made. Maybe there's money to spend. But it's something that will concern him, I would thought. But that is one thing that where Altrincham, yes, they played more games, but they've got a very strong goal difference there, almost worth an extra point, I would say.
Workington there in fifth position now, and like Warrington, brilliant result midweek in the FA Trophy. Workington back to league matters this weekend against Barwell. Barwell had a cracking draw against Lancaster City on the road. Admittedly, though, Lancaster City is a bit closer to Barwell than Workington is.
Yeah, indeed. Workington not very close to anywhere. But yeah, Barwell always solid. Always solid. That's what they've been this season. You know, they've won 9, they've lost 10, they've drawn 9. It's just very solid side. Not one that anybody's going to underestimate. They've got games in hand as well, so they'll still think they have a chance of getting into that top half and really having an effect on that side of the table. They've got a positive goal difference as well, despite being 15th. So they'll certainly have plenty of confidence, despite taking on a very strong Workington side.
Ashton United there in sixth, and they're one of the teams outside the playoff positions at the moment, with everyone in the playoffs looking at them going, don't you dare move. But I think they possibly might this weekend. Ashton United against Stafford Rangers. Stafford Rangers, it feels like a transitional season this year. Ashton United went through that transitional season last year. It's not a transitional season this year for Ashton, is it?
Not at all, and you've got to have admiration for what they've done there again at Hurst Cross.
on a very average budget, you would have thought. Only 5 defeats in the league. Tremendous effort from them again. They're right in that shake-up for yet another season. Punch above their weight, do a tremendous job, and you can't help admiring them. Stafford Rangers, I think it feels like they're 2 or 3 seasons in a row. We said, oh, they'll come good, and just not quite there yet. I'm not sure what needs to change there. As we've mentioned, they're a big club, former conference, and you think eventually it will turn around there and they will be up at the right end.
Farsley Celtic, they're in 8th position. Farsley Celtic this weekend will be hosting Buxton. And Buxton, you mentioned Stafford Rangers being one of those teams of will they, won't they? Buxton this season, it does feel like, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if they put a run together, but it's not quite happened yet. Farsley Celtic, are you surprised they're still challenging for the playoff positions? It seems, you know, we take for granted the fact that they are newly promoted to this level.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit surprised. James Walshaw, runaway top scorer, was the league top scorer as well before he's moved to Scarborough Athletic. They've done a good bit of business getting in Nathan Cartman on loan from Darlington. And they're very much still in that shake-up. So a little bit surprised, but the form they showed in the First Division North last season, probably we shouldn't be. Buxton, who knows what's going to happen? They're a little bit like Barwell. It's just very hard to predict them from one game to the next.
I think they've just got a new signing as well, a new striker, I think. And I think their forward line at Buxton was already quite formidable. So Martin McIntosh has added to it. That's all from memory, by the way, dear listener. So if I've got that slightly wrong, I do apologise. But in 9th position, we've got Witton Albion. Witton Albion, no game this weekend for them. But like Farsley Celtic, still involved in the playoff picture and newly promoted to this level this season. So not a bad season at all. We heard from John McGrath earlier at Michelova Sports. They are 10th. They have played a fair amount of games than everyone else, but they keep putting the odd result on the board, which keeps them just in the playoff picture. And at the moment, they're 5 games unbeaten in the league. This weekend, they'll be hosting Marine in the league. And Marine, obviously, commiserations to them. Superb effort last weekend.
I know, we were really hoping they were going to come back and get a replay in the trophy. Michelova, terrific effort again this season. Good on the travels as well, very solid there. Witten, it doesn't seem long ago since the fans were up in arms. There was a lot of negativity about the place, but you just look up, there they are. They're still in that playoff shake-up.
And I think, have we only got one game left to mention? One game left to mention, and that's Nantwich Town against Lancaster City. And Lancaster City, would you draw the line under Lancaster City and say that's the playoff race purely because they've got a game in hand or two over teams just above them?
Yeah, I think so. It's funny on Lancaster, you know, I've seen the very best of Lancaster, and yet I'm looking at the record and it's fairly inconsistent. They've had quite a few defeats, especially away from home, very good at home, and I'm a little surprised that they're not a little bit higher up in the league. For me, this season, they're the best team I've seen, so I certainly wouldn't rule them out. Nantwich, I'm not really sure about, you know. I thought that in the 1-0 victory over Whitby, they rode the luck at times. Whitby missed a penalty, did everything but find the net. But again, after all the players they had going out over the summer, even the manager left for Altrincham as well, the way that they've rebuilt, almost as if nothing's happened, is a huge credit to them.
And finally, Rush Olympic against Whitby Town. At the moment, Whitby Town 10 points clear of the relegation zone. Rush Olympic 12 points clear, and that was an important win for them against Sutton Coldfield Town. It's kind of like the same question I asked you about Lancaster, but in reverse. Would you draw that line under Whitby Town and say probably going to be okay? We're getting the odd point here or there. We're going to be all right.
No, I wouldn't dare. But
I tried though. Sutton Coldfield fans, I did try.
Definitely not, Ben. No, still a long way to go for Whitby. Not out the woods yet, but yeah, 10-point advantage over Sutton Coldfield. Rushall always a difficult place to go, though. Great win for them at the weekend, and they'll probably be starting to think that they're okay now. Thank goodness there's only one team going down this season, though. I'm sure Rushall fans would agree with me on that one.
And just a quick plug for the coverage on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul Connolly will be scaling a ladder around 40 feet up in the air. You'll just about be able to see if you squint upwards at Dales Lane, giving you all the very latest coverage there from Whitby Town Radio, whitby-town.com for that. And for the photographer is up there all the time, probably wondering what all the fuss is about.
Well, Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, a job well done. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll speak to you next month. And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big, big thank you to Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio for joining us this week. James Hayes early on, of course, and Kevin Moore at Switch Radio. Plus, a very special thank you to the management at Michelover Sports, Hensford Town, and Shaw Lane for joining us. And, of course, Karen Brooks at Halezo in town. Just to give you that Just Giving page one last time, it's justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Halezo in town. But that's it for this week's EvoStick NPL show. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest news from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But that's it for this week's show. Wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.